I can't. It's hard. I try, but I can't.
I vow to never forget,
I mean,
Jacoby, that you are a white person.
You gave me two TV takes that will make sure that I never forget that. Like the
so Pablo, Dominique is claiming that no one had a crush on Winnie from Wonder Years.
Not one person.
I'm going the opposite way, saying every single person on the planet, male, female, regardless of age, had a crush on Winnie from Wonder Years. Much like I have a crush on Corona because I love Corona beers.
Shout out to Corona presenting our show like a gift to all of you. And shout out to Winnie Cooper, who was, because she wasn't blonde, I think, Jacoby. Winnie Cooper being like dark haired made her like, oh, that's the smart person's crush.
Oh, she's a mathematician.
I'm zagging away
the
from
actor,
your original.
So,
what?
No, you can't.
The
can't.
Actor Danica McKellar is a mathematician now.
You can't make it seem like she was a fringe crush because Jacoby is saying everyone did.
Jacoby
said she's mainstream, and you're arguing that no, just the nerds went into her. And I'm arguing that nobody was. Like, nobody was like, Winnie is the crush. Like, I never heard that once in my life until today.
How is Pablo going to transition into the Bills off of this? I'm really excited about that.
Because you know who else was doubted by everybody?
Yes. Yes.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
He was not, though.
Also doubted by me. I doubted him.
Yeah. Also, just like, by everybody, I mean specifically the guy.
And I was wrong about him. I ain't wrong about Winnie, man. Like...
Dominique Foxworth, not good at scouting white people, Alabama.
Clearly.
Learned about
I don't know. You know what?
Show.
Topanga. Now everyone had a crush on Topanga.
Okay, yeah. let's move back to the Bills.
I do, guys, actually.
Guys, we're 2 weeks into the NFL season.
Alabama,
you know what that
so
means?
Nervous.
I got to trap you on some takes.
Stephon Urkel. Had
First
a big
question.
Crush on Stephon Urkel. You comfortable now, Alabaster?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So first question, the Bills seem like they're cut above every other team in the NFL.
Yes. How many cuts is the question? So far, Dominique, it feels like a lot of cuts, like lots of just like cut up lines of cocaine that we are snorting.
Whoa!
And enjoying.
Whoa!
Metaphor.
Whoa!
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
What?
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for the high that Josh Allen has put.
We're talking about 90s sitcoms. We got to do cigarettes. That's what they did in 90s sitcoms. That was
the
bad
kid. It's a very special
episode. Yeah, it's a very special episode.
I was thinking more like Death by a Thousand Cuts, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, but
also,
they are a lot of cuts above. So I mean, they've been the most impressive team so far. That in a season that it feels like everybody's really competitive. Their first two wins were dominant. I think the Titans, no one thinks of the Titans as like, even though they were the number one seed in AFC last year, no one thinks of them as a juggernaut in AFC, but that's fine. They treated them like you're supposed to treat them. And the week before, the defending Super Bowl champs, they beat them down too, like Debo. So yeah, it's hard to argue with how good they are. They're not perfect. No team is, but what I haven't seen yet is someone actually challenge their corners, and that's because their front seven is good enough to stop the run without. And I guess combined with their offense. Their offense scores enough points early enough that the opponent has to then throw the ball, and they don't have to pull a safety in the box to challenge the corner. So we'll see what happens when they get down to Miami.
The defense that Dominique just mentioned, Jacoby, I was going to make fun of him for burying the lead, but he raises a really good point, right? Like, part of the whole thing about having 20 regular season wins in a row by double digits is that the other offense happens to be double digits behind yours.
Well, I expected Derrick Henry to be Derrick Henry last night, and Derrick Henry was not Derrick Henry last night. Like, I was shocked at how they were tackles for a loss against Derrick Henry. Like, I was absolutely shocked at how, as Dominique mentioned, they didn't need to stack the box against Derrick Henry and the Titans. And everyone mentions that the Titans are the number one seed last season, at the end of the regular season. But let's be honest, like, that's probably the weakest number one seed in the history of the NFL. let's be honest. Like, yes, they beat the Super Bowl champion. That's fine. But like, the number one seed thing is, we're all running with that. But like, we were all kind of shocked at the end of the season. There's like tiebreakers. And we're like, wait, the Titans are the number one? Like, they got to buy?
This is one of those starts, to be very clear, where right now we say exactly what you guys are saying, like with that amount of nuance, but like 2 years from now, we're going to be like, they beat down the Super Bowl champs and the yes. AFC number one seed. Yeah. And we're going to memorialize this as an all-time run, which maybe you're saying it isn't.
I was just so shocked at how they bottled up Henry. Like it's everyone's going to talk about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs because those are the headlines. But the defense to me is really what's been most surprising about this Bills team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Their defense has been really good, and they've constructed a defense in a way that I think is perfect because it complements their offense. A lot like the Ravens used to be, because you can't say like the Ravens are because they were really concerning on defense yesterday. But it's a different way, but it's also constructed in a way that fits their offense really well, in that they're going to score a lot of points, they're going to score early, and they're going to force you out of your comfort zone. And they went and got Von Miller, who is perfect for closing games. And that's what he did last night. And he didn't even have any sacks, I don't think, but he just creates so much pressure and so much havoc when he knows it's a passing down. He just gets around the edge, and it seems like he was a important cog in the Rams' Super Bowl run last year. He didn't mean all that much. He was a late addition through trade in a regular season, but in the playoffs, it seemed like every moment, late game moment, he was there to make those plays. And it seems like he's going to be that for the Bills also. I think he had a sack in the Rams game towards the end, and he was just in the backfield towards the end of this game the whole time. So if you are trying to challenge my takiness and ask me to avoid the obvious Josh Allen take, then there you go. I went Von Miller.
I like how we're avoiding the obvious Josh Allen take, also in part because we all already recognize it's too late. Like, we're in the montage. Dominique, there's going to be like a Hall of Fame Canton montage from everybody talking about Josh Allen before the draft and even into that first season. And it's too late. It's too late. Nothing we can say now. We can elect Josh Allen president, Dominique, and you are in so many of these videos.
Yeah, I'm in the Steph Curry video.
You did this to Josh Allen and Steph Curry. Yes.
I'm in the Tom Brady video, I think. Oh, no, I'm not in the Tom Brady video yet. I think I said after they won the Super Bowl last year or 2 years ago that they won't win another one. So when they win the Super Bowl this year. So I'm going to lose-lose because either Tom Brady or Josh Allen is going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm in somebody's video.
They changed the rules. They're like, the Bills should have been in the Super Bowl, so we're going to change the rules. Like, that's what they did this offseason. They're like, this is clearly the best team in the AFC. We messed up by having the rules messed up, so we will adjust that to make sure the Bills are in the Super Bowl this year.
Last four games. Yeah, I think saw a stat this morning that only one quarterback has had more consecutive four touchdown games than Josh Allen. And that was Peyton Manning with five. And Josh has four in a row. And he's going to go down to Miami and probably throw four more and tie Peyton Manning. The people behind him is like Dan Marino, guys like that. That's his company. He's in the first drive, there's no answer for him. Because, like, in the first drive, when they make mistakes, when they get penalties or they have tackles for a loss, Josh Allen, and then they'd have good coverage, Josh will take a 3rd and 9 and just run it and run through your
run
secondary.
Over people,
and get
around
that.
People. Like,
he's also added guile-y type plays where he's out here hard counting people. That's what you do when you stink. You know, like when you don't have anything, you got to like find little ways to win.
Why?
On that.
Come on, Jimmy Josh Garoppolo Allen. Just wants to watch
don't
debatable
trick people,
in peace,
Josh
Dominique.
Allen. You can just run over them. You don't need to trick people, Josh Allen. Just run
you
know, over
you're
people.
You're hard counting, getting them to jump off sides too. Like you don't need to do that. You could just ran through them.
Oh, does Josh Allen need to change the way he plays because he takes too many hits? Guess what? Josh Allen doesn't miss starts. Look at his football reference page. Yeah. Look at it. He starts all the games and finishes all the games. The only reason Josh Allen is on the sideline while the Bills' offense is on the field is because he's already got a 28-point lead and there's 3 minutes left in the game.
Oh, I love Diggs. I was telling you this last night, Dominique. I ran to Dominique at the C4 Jacoby, like watching Monday Night Football. I did not know he was going to be there. He was there. We ended up watching some of these games together.
I want to know more about this. What time? Wait, why were you there?
I was
in the conference room watching the game. What is happening?
I met a friend for a drink at the restaurant next door. I came to bring them by because I was like, hey, here's a tour of the fancy
Seaport.
Do
you want to see where Stephen A. gives his takes?
Yeah, literally, and then they came to show Stephen A. where Stephen A. was getting his takes, and I was in here trying on Stephen A.'s sport coat and just w- walking around practicing my Stephen A. I'm trying to be kind. That's where I am right now. I'm in his office. I'm trying. I'm coming for the
throne. Are you really? Wait. Yeah, wait, see,
that's the
prove
thing.
That
Conrad,
you're in
I don't
office.
Know if you know this, but he's in Stephen A's office right now. He's operating from a power position. I feel like we start like 10 points behind because he's got the takeosity of that room alone. Those walls have felt and heard and absorbed so many takes that they reverberate all over that place.
Yeah, I'm just soaking in takes right now. These takes are going to
be so Can you read
so
the
great.
Label on that? Can you read the plaque on that trophy that, for the podcast audience, Dominique Foxworth is, in fact, holding right
the
now?
The podcast. 20, we're still doing this?
Yeah, he's still doing it. 2019 Stephen A. Smith GOAT Broadcaster Award.
They have not given it out for 2020, 2021, or 2022 because that is the GOAT Broadcaster Award. There are no others.
They won't do it until Stephen A. dies, like the Queen. We're going to have a whole thing until then. Even if he stops going on ESPN, he'll still be the GOAT. And hopefully I live long enough to see it when they put him in a see-through car and drive him through the streets of New York so we can all throw flowers at his great take body.
That man will live
I agree.
Forever.
That's true.
He's going to be lobotomized, and that brain is going to be used inside of like a just inside of a robot that just gives takes.
So
forever.
Did the Bills ruin the 2022 football season? I'm going to say yes. They're too good.
Ooh, like,
they've ruined.
Now we're getting to the takes. Let's get to the real takes here.
They've ruined.
What can
the
we
season?
Blame the Bills
they're
for?
They're too good. Like the AFC is stacked, and they're head and shoulders above everybody else. I can't pick a team outside of the Chiefs that can even challenge them in a playoff game.
Okay, like, now see, that's you've gone too far and you're taking it. See, that's you're trying to come for me because you know I have the upper hand because I'm in the A's office and you went too hard. The Chiefs can beat them. I mean, it's
name another team in the AFC that will challenge them in a playoff
note
game.
To producers. Put Dominique's last comment on the tape. Also, thank you for the montage.
So the Chiefs can beat them. I think the Dolphins can actually beat them this weekend.
Please. Oh, okay. Next Tuesday, I'll be on this show. And we're going to play that clip of you saying,
maybe
I think
be.
The Dolphins can beat them. Because the Dolphins are going to lose by 28 points. I guarantee it.
Oh, all right. I'll take that. Forget that I think they can beat them. I think the Dolphins will not lose by 28 points. Save that clip. Get rid of the other.
Why did Jacoby, why did you give him a spread?
Because I told you, he's coming in hot today. He's intimidated by my take-a-sphere, because that is,
you're in the multiverse of takes.
Yes, and you are intimidated by it, so now you're going too hard. You're shooting takes from half court when you don't need to.
Great point.
Alabaster, what do you got?
Hey, Jacoby, you're a Simmons guy. Let's see you guess the line for this Bills at Dolphins game. They're on the road at the Dolphins. What do you think the line is for this game? It's not 28 points.
Well, I will just go right through the red light of what being a Simmons guy means, and I will say that the Bills. It's in Miami, correct? The Bills are minus 3.5 points.
Nah, that's too low.
-5.5.
Wow. So Dominique and Pablo, do I love Mike McDaniel just because he makes hip hop references and sometimes quotes Kanye and wears Supreme Air Force Ones? Is that the reason I think he's an offensive genius, or is he actually an offensive genius?
And cool sunglasses. Yeah.
I love him so much. I love
he's
him
kind
so,
of, okay.
so much.
So Mike, I here's my criticism of Mike McDaniel right now. Mike McDaniel is kind of getting She's All That-ed. Right? He shows up the nerd, but now he's like putting on cool glasses and it's like, whoa.
They look cool.
Who is this? I know. It looks too cool. That's my
point.
That's
not a criticism.
Is that the guy that I fell in love with is the nerd. Not the Jacoby.
So
Officer Jacoby just showed up for the podcast audience.
You know how fast you were going?
Oh man!
I love Mike McDaniel so much that I think he will keep
within
28 points.
He's ridiculously good.
He's really talented, and their team is really talented. And Tua is playing well, and that sun is not a game. The reason why I think that they can compete with them is because their ability to run the ball. Hopefully, their ability to run the ball will force them to add a safety to the box at some point. And they're weak.
Derrick Henry couldn't run the ball. Derrick Henry
Taylor
couldn't
Lewan
run the ball.
Taylor Lewan went out in the first quarter and they do not have Derrick Henry's running attack. Their running attack is like a power rushing scheme that is a bit antiquated and works because Derrick Henry can't be stopped. My hope is that the Dolphins, while they have not been great at running the ball yet, will run the ball well in this game because of Mike McDaniel's contributions. And nobody in the league has two corners that can cover Waddle and Hill.
Ever.
So it's that is the offense that can keep them in this game is the reason why this might be a contest.
Okay. Why is Alabaster back in here?
Well, I just want to point out that stopping Derrick Henry doesn't mean what it used to mean. Like, he was below average last year in yards after contact. And again, this year,
he got hurt.
Part of it was just high volume last year. And he's a gigantic man who's coming off a foot injury. But he's not the same guy he was when he was, you know, a 2,000 yard rusher. You could run the ball with him down by two scores because he could break one off for 90 yards. That doesn't seem to exist anymore with that team or that player.
Can I ask one last question just on the Bills? And the question is simply, like, did we learn anything about Josh Allen last night that we did not know already? Like, the massive, like, collective, I was going to use a very gross mental image here, but just the idea that all of us could not be more in on Josh Allen. Did you see anything, Dominique, that was like, oh, it's actually even more? Or no, are we at peak Josh Allen already? Are we maxed out on our enthusiasm?
Yeah, I'm not sure what else he could do to make it even better. Like, he was manipulating the defense when they're in cover three. He rolled left, recognized a blow in coverage and man coverage immediately, which I barely could on the replay, and threw the ball across his body to wide open Stephon Diggs in the corner. He hit Stephon Diggs on a bomb in the seam against cover three. They blitzed him. He held them with the RPO, and Stephon Diggs got in that man's shorts and shook him up and then got in zone, and he hit him with that too. They tried to stop him, or they covered everyone on that early third down, and he ran for it. Like, I don't know what else you would want from Josh Allen. I don't know what else he did the hard count that we already discussed.
Yep.
And, I mean, Stephon Diggs is unguardable. Yeah, I don't know how the praise could get any higher. I know after last year, we all thought that he was, like, I accepted anyone who said he was the best quarterback in football. I didn't want to fight him because he had kind of played like it in the playoffs.
And now.
Yeah, now if you don't say it, I want to fight you.
So you think that Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes?
You want to fight?
Yes.
Dominique is fighting himself. He's fighting Jacoby. Dominique's in a pretzel right now, man. This is tough. We have to formally disavow Patrick Mahomes, Dominique. That's what we're being challenged to do.
I will never. How dare you suggest that? Allen at his best. Josh Allen at his very best has more tools than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has accomplished a lot more than Josh Allen. And that's the difference. So Josh Allen, when he's playing his very best, is more like, it's a lot like how Lamar Jackson is at his best. He's as good as anyone in the league. Josh Allen's in that same category. Patrick Mahomes does not have that ability. Josh Allen can go 40 yards, can run the ball 40 yards for a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes can't do that. Everything that Patrick Mahomes can do, Josh Allen can also do. So, I mean, that's my point. I'd still rather have Patrick Mahomes, but Josh Allen has an extra tool in his toolbox.
This is where
we're not comparing resumes here. Give us the take. Mahomes,
but Josh Allen is better.
This is very much a is telling me no, but my body is telling me.
I don't think we're allowed to reference that anymore.
We can't reference that. The catalog, is now dragged to the mental trash can.
No idea what you're talking about.
So would you rather have Peyton Manning or Tom Brady in their peak? Like, you can be better, but rather have someone else. Like, that's what it comes down to. Is I think Josh Allen is probably a better quarterback with more tools, but Patrick Mahomes has shown us the clutchiest of clutch moments his entire career. So I trust him more than Josh Allen because we've seen Josh Allen in big moments just be awful. We've never seen Patrick Mahomes.
What big moments
but
have we seen Josh Allen
also
be awful?
In the montage, Dominique is just feeding the montage now. He has just given yet more clips to be reverse cut into that Hall of Fame induction speech.
the playoff game, what was it, 3 years ago?
We can't be talking about the Texans game. He's a different guy. He's a different guy.
Okay, I agree. I agree he's a different guy. But I'm saying that when we are, like, sorting through these two guys' careers, like, it's a, I guess you could point to the
Have you noticed how many circles this guy is talking in? He's just talking in so many circles.
I'm trying to be Stephen A, and I'm fitting off more than I can chew. I'm sorry, guys. 15
minutes.
I'm fitting off more than I can chew.
45-minute show. You spent 15 just talking in circles about Josh Allen.
I'm fitting off more than I can chew. I came in with sass expectations and gave ass delivery. I'm sorry, Stephen A, for sullying your office.
Yeah, you got to get out of that office.
With bad takes. It's too much. The pressure's too much.
Yes.
Alabaster, don't lie on me, Alabaster.
Tomorrow on First Take, Stephen A. Smith is going to be like, I don't know.
This is like
when
a crown.
I don't know what's happening.
The metal of the crown is seeping into Dominique's bloodstream, and he's going insane.
It really is.
Yeah. I think I can get us across the finish line on this one. Dominique, I'm shrinking the scope here. In 2022, for the rest of the season, which quarterback do you think is better?
I am so glad, Jacoby, we get the real estate that Dominique is giving us in the form of this pause. Like, I'm going to take this layup every time.
He doesn't even know how to answer the question.
And he's like, how do I make it such that I don't take an L on any of the takes that I've now currently spinning on my fingers here?
Nah, I mean, it's like being a take artist is like being a boxer. You're going to get knocked out every now and then.
Eating all the L's.
I'm taking Patrick Mahomes.
Thank you. Thank you for leaving me the giant piece of chicken. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome. He is such a big piece of chicken.
The biggest. Oh, and again, you know how many gross things I have to say in response to that, but I'm holding myself back from because I
good job. I'm proud
obviously
of you.
Achieved
so,
growth.
So both gross of you thing. Guys are saying that you would take Josh Allen.
Yes.
No, Patrick right. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. What are you? Cool. Okay. Great.
Yes. He is.
Thank you.
It's that simple. You started the whole conversation by saying that Josh Allen was, and then you argued with yourself and convinced yourself that it was Patrick Mahomes.
I apologize for that. I asked for your forgiveness. I told you that I had too much pressure on me. Like, we don't have to keep going back. Like, can we accept that I messed up?
Why are we talking about old stuff? Why are we talking about old stuff?
Jeez, I thought we were friends.
To just sum up this whole segment, Josh Allen sucks again. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, clip
we're
that.
Still blaming
clip
him
that.
For throwing to a fullback in 2018 against the Texans.
That was so funny. It was so funny. He fumbled in that game too. Did you see him revert? He reverted last night's game. No, not even the touchdown to the square body. It was fourth down. It was the designed quarterback run. And he, like, scrambled out to the right, and a Byard got him in the backfield, and he just chucked the ball at the offensive line. It was a design run, and there was no receivers there. No one was looking for the ball. He just threw it at the O-line. It was pretty amazing. And then he went on to throw, like, 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Should we move on to the second game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please. I guess. Get me out of here.
Honestly, I thought you were going to compare Mahomes to Jordan and Josh Allen to LeBron since you're in Stephen A.'s office. But
ooh, I like that. I like that. I like where your head's at. Let's get the Cowboys involved.
Yeah. Oh. So, you know who else in the NFCs? The Eagles, along with the Cowboys. And my question to you all, are the Eagles as good as they looked last night?
Yes. Mm.
Wow, okay. So I will admit, right, that like when I was watching this game, I was not exactly inspired watching this. I was like, okay, the Josh Allen experience felt like a peak of some kind. This one, I mean, with all due respect to Jalen Hurts, who had 3 touchdowns, 390 total yards, I really don't know what to make of the Vikings. And I feel like that's kind of the question in terms of how impressed you are by the Eagles. And help me understand this better. What did I watch last night?
I don't think you need to make anything of the Vikings to accept that the Eagles are really freaking good. Because a lot like we saw in the Bills game, like they dominated that team. And the big question around the Eagles was the quarterback. Can he deliver from the pocket? Can he beat zone coverage? These are things that he struggled with last year. It's all he did last night. They protected the hell out of him, and he sat in the pocket and picked those zones apart, which matters a great deal for an athletic quarterback because you can't really play a lot of man coverage against a guy like that because he can run the ball on any play when all the defenders' backs are turned to him. So last year, teams could get away with getting a big enough lead to force him to throw the ball and sitting in zone, and he would struggle. He did not last night. He was killing every zone they threw at him. It was pretty scary. Couldn't get any pressure on him. And then he would just run the ball and barrel people over for two touchdowns on the ground. So if he can look like some version of that, he doesn't have to look all the way like that in every game. He can look like some version of that. And they still got Darius Slay out there turning the ball over. And Bradbury, who's a number one corner, on secondary receivers. And that D-line, like this, a loaded,
you love this defense.
Loaded roster. I do. I love this whole team. That's why I picked them to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
Jacoby, are you – Dominique has identified them. He's on record as them being a riser in his power rankings. What do you have the Eagles as now?
First of all, I bet Eagles money line and Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown on the ground every single week, and it works like 12 times out of 17. So nice. I love Jalen Hurts. I always bet for him to score a touchdown. He scores a touchdown on the ground in 90% of their games. But as we
Can
see
I say how, this, however for you?
This was the most impressive thing I saw last night, was Darius Slay. Like, I was like, because you remember the Lions traded him and then draft Jeff Okuda, and this is the first time anyone said Jeff Okuda's name in the last 3 years. They had Darius Slay. He ends up on the Eagles. Justin Jefferson, you watch week one, Justin Jefferson
that
was
part.
So good. Like, there was like...
best offensive player in the league.
Easily.
Good was the
And then Darius Slay just shut him down last night. I was absolutely shocked. That was the most impressive thing to me. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback. We talk about quarterback all the time in the NFL. But I thought Slay and the defense really showed out last night.
Can we unpack that, though? Because, Dominique, as a cornerback, like, was this actually a Darius Slay smothering with, like, a chloroform rag Justin Jefferson? Is that what you saw?
Well, Darius Slay definitely smothered him, but Kirk Cousins was the chloroform rag. I mean, if you look at the interceptions, I guess one of them you could say Justin Jefferson didn't, like, fight for the ball hard enough, but the other ones, there were some that were dropped, so it was like four total that Darius Slay could have had, and one I think was like callback on penalties or something like that. Those were really poorly thrown passes. So, yes, I certainly am not going to take any credit from corners, but Cousins was struggling last night. That whole offense was struggling last night. It didn't seem like they could get into any sort of groove or comfort level, continuity, all the words that that you would like to have your offense rhythm. I don't know. And they didn't have it. And Darius Slay was part of it, but he wasn't the whole thing. Kirk Cousins was pretty sucky last night.
When I think Kirk Cousins, Alabaster, I think rhythm. Yeah. Yeah. 2-10, by the way. I'm on Monday Night Football. Worst. I mean, this stat, okay, this is a thing that I've seen, and now it's obviously populated to the point where it's 2-10 on Monday Night Football. The worst of any quarterback who has played at least 10 Monday Night Football games. Is this a thing? Like, the
it's
idea that on the stage of Monday Night Football, this guy is the worst by record.
It was brought up before last night. Like, this has followed Kirk Cousins. It started about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's still stuck to him, and he just can't get over it.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's a thing in that way. I guess you're also asking, do I think that he can't play at night, or he's scared of Mondays? Garfield?
Yeah, wait, I was going to say, what's the Garfield theory of Kirk Cousins?
I mean, I don't know. You're the one that's asking the question. Like,
well, this is, with this, all
the
of these
Garfield
possibilities.
Reference I was not ready for. I love this. He's all Kirk Garfield Cousins from now on in my
loves
mind.
Loves lasagna, hates yes. Monday Night Football. Yes. No, but, but a real, yes. I mean, what is the theory of it? Is it just that he is, you know, let's go full on take. Kirk Cousins is a choker on the biggest stage. Is what the implication is of this kind of a stat.
Oh, I'm going, Kirk Cousins is mid. That's what he is. He is mid. Like, if you look up mid in the dictionary, Kirk Cousins is right there. And if you look at Kirk Cousins' teams he's always been on, they've never been great. Going back to the Washington team, this Vikings team, like, the reason that he loses is not because it's Kirk Cousins. It's because Kirk Cousins is always the leader of a mediocre, maybe just under 500 team. Year after year.
Hold on. One thing on that. Kirk Cousins went to the Vikings the year after they went to the NFC Championship with Case bleeping Keenum. That's a good team.
Yeah. So, in my position in Stephen A's office, so did, in my defense of my good friend Jacoby, the Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year. So just because a team makes a deep run in the playoffs does not mean they're actually good. They could also be mid, though I do disagree with Jacoby. That is what I would say if I wanted to defend him. I think that Kirk Cousins is not I think he's like average. He's an average quarterback. And this team that they have now is not as good as those teams. But
Wait.
What just happened?
You just say, if I wanted to agree with Jacoby, I would hypothetically give this take and then give this take and then disagree with Jacoby calling him mid and then say that he's average. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
No. I mean, mid does kind of mean bad, even though it suggests average.
It means average. It's the same.
Mid is disrespectful.
Josh Allen is, again, uncut Colombian. Kirk Cousins mostly brown, and it's just like, am I even getting high off of this?
Kirk Cousins is replacement player. They're talking about over replacement player. Kirk Cousins is replacement player.
Vork. It's Vork. Value over replacement Kirk.
No, Garfield. Vorg. Value over replacement Garfield.
This team, I thought they were good. And Kirk Cousins has the unfortunate situation where he's in the same division as Aaron Rodgers, which is always going to be off. He is in the same division as Jared Goff, but he's not competing with Jared Goff to win the division. He's competing with Aaron Rodgers, which is never going to be easy. He's not going to be that guy. He's one of the greatest we've ever had. So I think he does look pretty terrible in comparison. This team should have done better, but he is normally mid, but he also has the ability to like be really good at times, which is what really confuses people and why he gets so much money so often. Because he has games where he's like killing. As long as it's not at night or on a Monday, he can go out there and cook. But he's still mid.
Alabaster. Mid is the verdict that this fake television show has delivered upon Kirk Cousins' head.
Awesome. He is not him, I guess.
Not him. Oh, God. He's not a guy.
Definitively not fire. Yeah. Oh.
He is off. All right, let's do one more topic. It's being reported the NBA and the NBAPA are planning to change the draft age to 18 in the next CBA. What does that mean for the NBA and college basketball?
So can I just loft a very irresponsible conspiracy theory into the air here and tell you how my brain works? Dominique's in Stephen A's office. I'm like in an Alex Jonesian like tinfoil hat place right now. When I saw this, I was like, okay, this is what I know about what's happened so far this month. Adam Silver is under fire right now by LeBron James and Chris Paul. He's having these alliances that he's formed broken. And LeBron James is pushing on the commissioner in ways that we have not publicly seen. What's a good way to get LeBron James to be back on the Adam Silver trade? It's to maybe allow Bronny James to enter the league as soon as 2024. That is my conspiracy. I think the real of it is this is obviously a thing that most immediately affects the LeBron James storyline. But now Alabaster is saying that somehow my entire conspiracy theory is false. So disabuse me of what I just rambled about.
Well, listen, Pablo, as a employee of the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN, you're doing a great job by pivoting this topic into a LeBron James topic.
Yeah,
when in fact, it has absolutely nothing to do with LeBron James whatsoever.
Impressive.
Bronny James has been ranked in the 20s or 30s in his class. And if you look at the history of prospects that go from high school to the pros, the Tracy McGrady's, the Kevin Garnett's, the Kobe Bryant's, the list goes on and on. Those are legit number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 prospects. And Bronny is not even sniffing that. He's already established that he is going to college. And he'll be lucky to be drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. However, this rule should never have changed in the first place. Like, why is it if you are 18 years old, you are good enough at basketball to be employed to play professional basketball, then you have to go to a stupid college and do this one and done thing? Why is that the case? This rule should have never, ever been changed in the first place. And I'm happy that they're going to change it back. But I do love one thing you did, Pablo. the way you were like Adam Silver PR campaign, being like, you know what? Everyone's mad at me over the Sarver thing. Let me just change the narrative.
Yeah.
I like that.
I thought that's where you were going with the conspiracy theory. So I will not engage in the conspiracy theory. This Sarver thing is a mess. Let's talk about that instead of this. So,
okay, wait. So, but let's do one thing very quickly, Dominique, and then I want to go full into the Sarver thing. Just to, because Jacoby asked the question that I think I just want to answer very quickly, right? You asked, why did this change in the first place? Dominique, it's because NBA owners do not trust themselves to make good decisions about high schoolers. Yeah. LeBron James, I mean, may not be in this story. You know who is Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan was very much in favor of not being able to draft high school players. Ironically enough, drafted Kwame Brown. They don't want to have risk in that way. They don't trust themselves in that way. It's not about fairness. It's about how do we get risk to be minimized. Which is all to say, when it comes to risk, the Robert Sarver thing does seem like the number one agenda item. So, Dominique, please continue.
I mean, I guess I wonder what's going to happen with that. And I generally have been frustrated with people who complain about how the players aren't doing enough when I don't feel like it's their responsibility, again, to you made a face. You don't think that's been a narrative in the world?
Oh, no. I just, what do you want the players to do? It's not their job to kick out an owner. It's just like I play basketball.
Agreed.
I put the, I put the wrong thing inside the circle.
Not
I don't
their
like...
job, but in terms of, like, how does this change? You know the owners aren't going to do this on their own. You know they're not going to listen to the media scrutiny. So it's just a matter of, like, well, what could change it?
I mean, the media scrutiny matters. I think the media scrutiny matters because the longer we keep that in people's minds, the more likely people are to actually take some sort of action. And the action that will, like, impact them is financial, obviously. So we'll see what happens. I think probably nothing in the long run. But I just found myself kind of uncomfortable with how this whole conversation is being had, where we are like having this debate on like his Robert Sarver's level of racistness, and is he racist or sexist enough to take his team? I don't know. He's pretty sexist, pretty misogynistic. But should we take his team? It just feels ridiculous that we're in a point where all the things that he did, any one of those things would have gotten anyone else fired. And I would like to think that someone who's in charge, someone who has billions of dollars, lots of perks come with that. And also, like, a higher bar of behavior should come with that. It doesn't, but it should. And I think generally we should, like, hold them accountable and make them try to start living by a different code, which I guess I'm pessimistic, but I wanted to say it to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jacoby, like, when you talk about accountability, right, like, let's be honest about this. We don't actually hold the owners accountable. They hold themselves accountable, right? Like, Adam Silver is, I mean, this is to me, what the story is most interesting about is just that, like, oh, this is how the league actually works. Like, you know, absent the obvious Donald Sterling tape, it's like, what do the owners want to do? They want to lower the odds that any of their shit can be prosecuted, can be discovered. Like, we live in a league, in a world where the league has a Mark Cuban who was crying on the jump about his own things with the Mavericks. We live in a world where all of these investigations have happened into owners. None of them have lost their teams. And those are the guys deciding whether this guy is going to lose his team.
The Sarver thing is interesting to me because it's not like he has a Sterling, pun intended, reputation to begin with. Like, everyone has complained about Robert Sarver for two decades now, and everyone knows that he is one of the worst, shout out to James Dolan, governors, we're calling it now, in the league. And five times, so they interviewed 320 people, five times confirmed through this investigation, he used the N-word, and then they were like, oh, but he was recounting what other people said. He's not at, like, a Drake concert singing along. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's in a workplace.
Five times, if you are confirmed through an investigation to five times being used the N-word, it's not a giant leap to assume that he's used it more than five times in his entire life. And there, I don't know if you've noticed, but the majority of NBA players are black people. And the 100% of the WNBA players are females. And then he was confirmed to be inequitable at the workplace. To talk about their appearance and to be disrespectful towards women that just had children, saying that their abilities to work weren't the same as their colleagues. This, to me, is you gotta go. You have to go. So like, it's not complicated to me. But because there is no B. Stiviano visor tape, then he still gets to keep his team. And Adam Silver, when you listen to Adam Silver speak about it, he does a really good job. He's a lawyer. He does a really good job being like, well, I did everything I could. There's a part of me that's like, wait, Adam Silver, like you almost got me there. But did you do everything you could? Do you really not have the authority to push this further, Adam Silver? He tricked me into believing him for like 2 hours. And I was like, wait a second, he can do more than this.
Yeah, I mean, the real kicker on the Adam Silver thing is when he told on himself, when, I mean, not on himself, but kind of on the whole system when he...
On capitalism?
Yeah, when he told on capitalism, it was like, yeah, essentially when you own the team, you got a different, you got more luxuries and more leniency to do the things that, whatever it is that you want to do, which I guess sucks for us to be confronted with. But your point is well taken, Pablo, is it's no different than anywhere else in America. Just happens to be a basketball team. Well, now we're looking at it and it makes us uncomfortable.
But there's that. But Alabaster, right? Like what I would like for the NBA and for us in general to stop doing is to stop pretending these are anything more than like capitalistic organizations that are interested in preserving power and wealth. Like the whole idea of, we are at the vanguard of progressivism. We are a shining light of racial progress. We are about equity, to use the word inequitable.
What do you think?
In this context, like, let's just stop that. It's bullshit. Like, it's not that.
So I guess I was just thinking through what would happen in a normal company, one that's not like a professional sports team. And I imagine that they would be resistant if they had a CEO at a company, if it's publicly traded company CEO that is otherwise doing a good job. Not that Sarver is doing a good job, but presumably doing a good job in this situation. It became public. And let's say that people didn't stop shopping there or buying it or whatever. It didn't hurt their bottom line. Wouldn't the next step be like a lawsuit or something from the employees there? Like, I guess I don't get it. The report seems to suggest, or not suggest, it comes outright and like explains at least a misogynistic work environment. I'm surprised that nobody, there hasn't been like a class action suit or some other maneuver taken. You have a update interjection? Did something just happen in the last 5 minutes while we were talking?
Actually, sort of. Baxter Holmes just posted that Draymond Green on his podcast basically said, let's have a vote. Let's see what the numbers are. You need 75% of owners to remove Robert Sarver. Let's see what the numbers are and see if people will publicly vote to defend him or vote him out.
I would love that.
Whoa.
That
love
is
new media.
Never going to happen.
Love new
never
media.
I love that. I love the idea of discovery in all of its senses. That is literally never going to happen. Like, I mean, and think about why. It's obvious why. It's like they are the police and they are the criminals, right? Like, why are you going to be good at investigating yourself?
America.
Well, can we get James Dolan out too while we're doing this? Because it's going to happen. It's almost like changing the Washington football team's name.
Question.
It's like Sarver is going to go eventually. It's just a matter of time. It's like this is inevitable. It's inevitable that Sarver is no longer going to be the governor of the Suns. So
I
can we just do it now
that.
Instead of later?
I really feel that way. Jacoby. I hope you're right, just because the tonnage that Dominique is referring to, where it's like, why isn't there litigation here? Fair question. And maybe there will be. Maybe there'll be a civil suit. Maybe there'll be something else. But the reason why this is never going to happen is because Mark Cuban, James Dolan, go down the list of guys with skeletons. Mark Cuban, after the Donald Sterling case, literally came out and said that he was concerned about the slippery slope. Why is it so slippery, Mark? You tell me.
Oh, gosh. Are there any good 18-year-old basketball players since this question was about the role?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The French kid, he's 19, right?
Yep.
He's 18 now. He could have been.
Oh, he's going to be 19 for the draft.
So, yeah. I mean,
what's his name?
Huh? Oh, you're talking about Wembanyama?
Yeah. It's like a Antetokounmpo. When Giannis came in the league, we always called him Giannis, and now we're calling him Victor.
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Yeah. There it is.
The French kid. He's really good.
But
are they like building
name.
Up?
Yeah.
Are they like building up the G League Ignite and all this stuff. So like all they're doing, right, is like building their own minor league system.
So this is where
another reason
why the story goes.
Yes. It's, so college basketball just continues to take hits. Like, I care less about college basketball now than I did when I was a child, and that has been a progressive slope. And I love the game of basketball, and I feel like if they when they make this rule change, it will again deteriorate the quality of college basketball and the popularity.
The G League Ignite, Overtime Elite, Europe, any other country being a viable place to just take the best prospects. Yeah, the reason why the NBA is doing this is probably just because, I mean, most selfishly, like, they don't need in the same way, or they've recognized that, look, protecting college basketball is kind of a losing game at this point. Like, why are we even doing it?
And you look at Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic was playing against grown professional adults when he was drafted, and when he came to the league, there was no learning curve. Like, he was already there. And I think if you look at someone like Luka, like, that is how prospects should develop. Like, put them in the fire early, and then you'll get the better results.
Sounds good to me. We should buy a team. How much money you guys got in your pocket right now? You think we can put it together and buy the Suns?
Hold on. I've got $13.
I can put these AirPods on eBay. That'll help us.
But I have sunglasses, though, so, you know.
Oh, nice. Oh,
oh yep.
Now you could just confiscate the team with those cop glasses. You could commandeer that thing.
Thanks, Corona. Thank you, as always, to Corona, presenting a fake television show that I think has gotten to the most important stories happening right now. Like, is Topanga still hot?
Oh, God, yes. Dude. Pablo. You can always count on Pablo to make things off.
The answer, obviously, is yes.
Shout out to Winnie Cooper. Forever in my heart.
Her brand.
Winnie Cooper. Winnie Cooper and a Mini Cooper.
Does anyone know even who we're talking about? The kids today, this is like watching Bill Russell footage in like the 50s. Like, they're watching the Wonder Years and being...